Of course, you know, the naysayers were right there, and they said, well, you know, this time has passed. This was 20 years ago. You look too big. You're too monstrous, too muscular. You would never get in the movies. So that's what producers said in the beginning in Hollywood. And that's also what agents said and managers. They said, I doubt that you're going to be successful in that. Today's idols are, you know, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino, Woody Allen. I mean, look at this. These are all little guys. You know, those are the sex symbols. Those are the hot stars. Look at you. You weigh 250 pounds or something like that. This is, that time is over.
What's going on, guys? Anand here, and thank you for coming back to what is the second in this series of my solo episodes where I deconstruct the lives of famous personalities and celebrities to really see what's contributed to their successes and also how their life journey across borders has shaped their mindset and helped with their achievements. And when I say achievements, I'm not just referring to the main attribute that the person became famous for. As the series goes on, you'll see that in most cases, these reviews involve those personalities that have not only discovered their potential and worked hard to become well-known names, but their achievements are often far greater and more impactful. And I'm hoping that in a lot of cases, these will be things that you never knew about the person in the first place. So, to carry on the theme of immigrants who found their calling in the US, very few can boast the accomplishments of the man that I'll be reviewing today. Yes, that is the Governator, the Terminator, Mr. Olympia, Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is a great, great story of a young boy who grew up in very unfavorable circumstances, not just financially, but also in his family life. And he followed a dream of moving to the US to achieve his goals. And he not only managed to do so, but I feel he far surpassed even his own heightened ambitions. So over the next 15 minutes or so, I present to you the story of a European bodybuilding enthusiast with dreams as big as his biceps, who took what was once a niche culture of heavy iron lifters and turned it into this internationally appreciated sport and competition. Arnold Schwarzenegger first made his fame as a bodybuilder, and he used that as a launching point to become not only a huge Hollywood star, but later even the governor of California. But going back to where it all started, Arnie, which, if he ever listens to this, I hope he doesn't mind me calling him that, was born in 1947 in Styria in Austria. However, his childhood was far from ideal. His father was an alcoholic and also a one-time member of the Nazi party, and apparently he clearly favoured Arnie's brother. He also ridiculed Schwarzenegger's early dreams of becoming a bodybuilder. However, ever since seeing newsreels at the age of 10, this is when Arnie's dream began of moving to America. In an interview with Chris Hardwick, and there will be a link in the description to that full conversation, Arnie talks about going all in to what he knew was the future for him.
I had no choice. It was not like I had a safety net there, that if things don't work out, that there was a safety net, then I'm going to be fine and then do something else. So to me, it was like, I don't want to live in Austria. I don't want to be a farmer. I don't want to be a plumber. I don't want to be a carpenter and all the stuff that was there that people did around me. I wanted to go to America, to the land of opportunity. So to me, it was just a question about, okay, how do I get there?
So as a fresh-faced boy who had become crystal clear on his goal to find his way to America, he just so happened to stumble upon a magazine cover. On the front of this cover was a picture of a man who played Hercules in the movies. And in the same interview with Chris, Arnie goes on to say,
my whole plan was laid out right in front of me because I saw this magazine in this store in Graz in Austria. I picked it up and it was like, you know, how Reg Park became Hercules by winning Mr. Universe. And so this guy won 3 times Mr. Universe, and then he was asked to do this Hercules movies. And all of a sudden he was in this international kind of business, the movie business. Mm-hmm. He made money, and he took his money that he made and built a gymnasium empire in South Africa. And all of a sudden he had this wonderful family, beautiful wife and great children. And I said, wow, look at this. The whole life is laid out here. So I just went after that. I felt like this is my opportunity.
So Arnie began to quickly idolize Reg Park, and I mean in everything, from his bodybuilding achievements through to his successes in acting and even having an amazing family. In fact, he also used Reg Park's B-level Hercules movies as an escape from his unfavorable family life. So with Reg Park playing such an inspirational role in his life, he quickly realized that his way out of Austria to the United States was through bodybuilding. Arnold also says that at the age of 14, he realized that he not only wanted to become a famous bodybuilder, but he dreamed of becoming the best in the world. Now, I know it will be naive to think that he's the only person to have dreamed the big dream. However, the do or die mindset of knowing he had to make it work in order to have any chance of making it to the US was a major contributor to his unrivaled work ethic at such a young age. Which brings me to key lesson number one. When the dream is so big that it involves not just becoming the best at your passion, but knowing that the only way to achieve the heights that you've set out involves leaving your country and moving to where it can be achieved, I feel that this almost gives an unfair advantage that you know there really isn't another option.
And so there was this will there that no matter what it takes, and even if I have to crawl to Germany, that I will be there at that event because that was my shot when I saw the ads about this Mr. Europe Junior competition, Best Gebauter Athlet Europas in German. And that was my opportunity to really go and to make my first kind of a entry into an international competition. And I felt that, I can win it. And that's what I was there for. I wasn't there to compete. I was there to win.
In a similar interview, I've heard Arnie talk about one of the main reasons he sees why some people never reach their true potential and achieve their dreams is because they have a plan B. So as soon as they run into any difficulties with plan A, their mind has already defaulted to figuring out how plan B can replace this sense of achievement. And in his own pursuit, a plan B was just something that he had never even considered.
But it was not so much that I was disciplined, because it's not really discipline. It's when you have a vision, a very clear vision of what you want to look like, then you cannot wait to do the next set or the next exercise or the next rep, because you know that each rep you do in each set you do in each weight you lift, you get closer to turning this vision into reality. And I saw myself getting closer and closer and getting more and more muscular. So you get enthusiastic about that rather than, I got to be disciplined. Oh, my God, I have to do another 200 rep sit-ups. Oh, God, I have to go back to the gym and do another 2 hours of bench press and chin-ups and rowing and deadlifts and shoulder shrugs and all those kind of things. I never thought that way.
One of the most powerful messages that I heard Arnie give in his speech was when he said, I see guys I meet in the gym that are from Austria. They're aggressive. They're from Israel, they're from France, they're from Germany, from Russia, from all kinds of places, and they find their way. Because what happens when you're a foreigner is you have the work ethic. You know that you have to struggle from the beginning, otherwise you wouldn't be leaving your country. If you had this wonderful, rosy atmosphere, you would not want to leave. So here's where the accolades roll in. By the age of 19, he'd won both the Junior Mr. Europe and Mr. Europe contest in consecutive years. A year later, at the age of 20, he became the youngest Mr. Universe. So just to recap, in 1968, by the age of 21, this boy from an unfavorable background, who was determined to create his own version of the life that he admired so much in Reg Parks, had already won Mr. Universe twice. And that second one was where his dream opportunity finally came.
With the age of 21, I became the youngest Mr. Universe ever with the age of 20. Then a year later, I won a second Mr. Universe title. And then I got this invitation from Joe Weider, who was the publisher of the Muscle magazines in America and all over the world.
So Weider became familiar with Arnie's name after these early accolades, but also really liked his demeanor, sense of humor, and the potential that he saw in such a young bodybuilder. Over the next decade, Arnie became one of the most celebrated bodybuilders in history, winning an unprecedented 5 Mr. Universe titles and 6 Mr. Olympia crowns during his career. However, when he first arrived to the US, he hardly spoke any English. And if you think his accent is strong now, imagine what it was like back then. This did not stop him from becoming a regular writer for Muscle and Fitness magazine. Which brings me to key lesson number 2. And this is one that you're going to notice through multiple phases of his life. And that is the ability to drive forward even when the odds and doubters are completely stacked against you. Despite his accent and lack of acting experience, he wanted to transition into Hollywood. And he speaks about how he didn't want to transition into being an actor. He wanted to become a lead man in Hollywood. And he genuinely was so confident he could do it.
The more you see it clearly, like for instance, I saw very clearly in my last few years of competing in bodybuilding to become a leading man in movies. Not to become an actor, but to become a leading person, a leading character, a star. Mm-hmm. And now, this is as far-fetched as anyone can ever think, because it's like a, you know, one of those crazy dreams that a lot of people have. But I was absolutely convinced that I was meant to do that.
In an interview where he was asked about this, his comments were, "Even though in the beginning you could imagine how many people discouraged me, they would say, 'This is so stupid, you're in bodybuilding. Why don't you go into food supplements? We can help you with that. Or teach your training methods.'" On top of this, at the time, there had never been anyone in the history of Hollywood that had become a leading man who had an accent. And just to make his situation even more far-fetched, his physique was not one that was associated with a Hollywood star either.
It won't happen. Americans love like John Wayne and Kirk Douglas and those kind of guys. That's it. And especially, I mean, with your body. I mean, look at you. You weigh 250 pounds. You're overdeveloped. I mean, you know, the idols today is Woody Allen. is Al Pacino. There's all small Dustin Hoffman. Those are people that are starring today in movies. Those are the people that the people idolize. Those are the actors that they want to see on the screen. They're Americans. They're totally Americans. He says, but not guys like you. And plus with a name like Schwarzen, you know, Schnitzel or whatever it is. I mean, it's like, yeah, I can see that already on a poster.
But back to that key lesson number two. With his relentless drive and also an internalized belief that if this one's gangly little 10-year-old from Austria could win an unprecedented number of bodybuilding titles, all while fulfilling his desire to move to the US, then why would the fact that he didn't fit another traditional mold stop him from what he was certain he could achieve? His fame as a bodybuilder and the acclaimed documentary Pumping Iron really kickstarted a successful run as Hollywood's leading man, where he saw his breakthrough come in 1982 through Conan the Barbarian. And only a few years after that followed a succession of blockbuster hits like Predator, Eraser, and of course, one of my favorites, Terminator. Well, specifically Terminator 2, which actually, funny story there. And when I say funny story, it definitely was not at the time. I was naively allowed to stay up with my cousins and watch Terminator 2 while they were babysitting me. You're probably thinking, what lovely cousins. Except the film is rated an 18 and I was 8. And even though I'd say I have a high affinity for thrill-seeking, being 10 years younger than the recommended age honestly left me having nightmares for a week. But back to the message. Arnie's rise to becoming a leading man in acting was not only a great sense of achievement for himself, but also had a great deal of significance for the industry. In fact, the director of Conan, John Milius, said, "If we didn't have Schwarzenegger, we would have had to build one." And then in 1984, in reference to Arnie's accent, Jim Cameron said, "He talks like a machine. I really don't think we could have sold the idea of a Terminator. He acts like a machine, he walks like a machine, he is the Terminator. Thank God this guy had an accent." And while there's an obvious interpretation that can be drawn from this around taking what could be perceived as your biggest obstacle and turning this into your biggest opportunity, I wouldn't necessarily attribute this to the immigrant mindset. However, it's still very valuable, and one where maybe you can take a look at your own passion or that of someone very close to you and see where there's been some doubt cast on a dream because they're looking to do something that hasn't been done that way before, and realize that not all these dreams should be halted because of people that can't relate to it. The next chapter in Schwarzenegger's already illustrious life and career came in 2003 when he was elected as the governor of California in a recall election. Having been one of the most well-recognized beneficiaries of the American dream, he felt compelled to serve the public that offered him the opportunity to succeed. And the fact that he declined to accept the governor's salary of $175,000 shows that he really meant it. Which brings me to key lesson number three. In many cases, those with successful immigrant stories feel genuinely compelled to give back to the country that provided them the platform for success, so that they can provide the opportunity to others who are chasing their own dreams.
You have to understand this, when you are a foreigner, an immigrant, and you come over here and you enjoy the unbelievable opportunities that America has to offer. It is natural that you feel like you want to give something back. And I felt like when I was the chairman of the president's council and then when I was a trainer for the Special Olympics and then with the after school programs, it was my way also of giving back.
So this mindset of giving back is a trait that we will regularly be revisiting during a lot of these famous immigrant stories. In Arnie's own words, he said, "I came to California 4 decades ago with absolutely nothing. The opportunity to give something back as a governor has been an immigrant's dream come true." In another interview for the October cover of Men's Health, Schwarzenegger revealed how his experience as a foreigner colors his perspective on present-day immigration issues. He said, "Let me tell you something. When I travel around the world, the most common thing that people always come up to me about, people come up to me in the gym or at a restaurant and say, 'America, America.' No matter how much people laugh at Trump right now all over the world, they want to come to America because they know that one president, one man, cannot change this country." Now for me, the strength in the message behind this really shows how grateful he is for the opportunities that were presented to him. He's also been outspoken about the need for immigration reform. A prime example being a tweet from him in 2018 about his unique background as both an immigrant and the governor of California. The tweet read, "As an immigrant, I know the magnetic power of America's greatness. As a former border governor, I know the importance of securing our border and fixing our absurdly broken immigration system. As an American, I know that kids shouldn't be pawns while adults figure it out." For those of you who listened to the previous celebrity episode, you may remember Mila Kunis being very outspoken during the time when Trump was making ludicrous personal remarks about Syrians during his campaign. In Arnold, we see something very similar. Which leads me to the fourth and final key lesson, which is that in the immigrant mindset, there's often this sense that there's always something more to achieve.
And it was just a huge mess here. And I felt that I could do a better job. And so, but at the same time, I recognized the fact that I just finished Terminator and Terminator 3 came out. And so that meant that I was not going to be able to make 2 movies a year and make this kind of millions and millions of dollars. So am I willing to go and walk away from all that money, potentially over $100 million over the next, 7 years?
He says that this is arguably the toughest decision that he had to make. And what I really love about this is it wasn't just a financial deliberation. From a family point of view, his wife was reluctant to it, given that she had come from a family where politics had a tremendous negative side effect. Arnold holds incredibly strong family values.
And so there were all of those debates, but eventually after long deliberation and thinking about the whole thing, I did make up my mind and I decided to do it. But it was a very tough decision to make because I had to think about all of those different aspects. But I went for it and I felt very passionate. And then after I made the decision, I was 100% behind it. And I felt like I had a need to serve the people and to give back to this great, great country that gave me everything.
During his time as governor, Arnie was hugely influential in implementing initiatives that he had a great passion for. Not only because of his strong desire to bring about some significant changes, but he also brought a very unique personality and approach that you could see was shaped from the type of life he'd led until that point, some of them also being very entertaining.
I basically sent him up before we negotiated, a set of balls. kind of just with a note that say, "I hope you have that when we negotiate the budget, because that's what we both need, but what we all in this building need in order to get this budget done, because it's not going to be a pretty budget because people will hate it."
But humor value aside, Arnie was also a firm believer in providing children with better platforms to explore their passions and to be able to grow. And I think in his first interview with Tim Ferriss, he speaks on the efforts that he went through to bring about the huge reforms around after-school programs, along with his relentless pursuits for environmental policies, which he's still working on today. And so while Arnie for president would be a great evolution journey, I believe the Constitution states that a president has to be American-born. However, this takes nothing away from what is a truly incredible immigrant story. So that's going to wrap up the episode, guys. I appreciate you so much for listening. To recall the four key lessons that I took from Arnie's life journey, number one, the unrivaled work ethic that him and a lot of those with an immigrant mindset have, that they see their pursuit of their dream as the only option with no plan B. Number two, their ability to drive forward with a goal or passion even when the odds and doubters are stacked against them. Number three, the mindset of feeling genuinely compelled to give back to the country that gave them their platform for success. And number four, that there's always something more to achieve. As always, I would love to know if you agreed with these. Let me know if you feel there's any that I missed. I've only touched the surface of this incredible backstory of the real-life Terminator, so if you did want to learn more about his journey, I recommend checking out the links that I've added in the description. If you enjoyed listening and took something away from the episode, I would love you to share this so someone else can do the same. And feel free to get in touch with me on Instagram if you have any famous personalities you think I should review. The next guest episode drops on Tuesday, so if you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe, and that way you won't miss out. As Arnie himself would famously say,
I'll be back.